Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning I want to talk to you about a subject that I've entitled Once More with Feeling. And I was reminded of it when I attempted this week to do some watercoloring. I have a little bit of a creative side in me, and every now and then I like to break out the water, the brushes, and do the things, and then end up in about a half hour tearing it up and starting again and tearing it up and starting again. I'm not a watercolorist yet. But you see, I have this feeling inside me that if I persist, that I might have something come of it. If nothing else, I'll have the enjoyment of playing around with paints, which reminds me of my youth, far long time ago, when we all did that kind of stuff in school. I just felt like that I wanted to do this. And I found out that one of the things that I could do pretty well is draw a tree that's in fall with sticks and things like that. So long as I don't have to get the leaves on it, I'm pretty good. And I looked at that tree, that's not too bad. And so it's a process. And the more feeling that I put into it, the more that I think about what I want to express, the more it tends to turn out like something. It's not something I want to show anybody yet, but it's something that works because I'm, sort of works, because I'm putting my feeling, the desire I really have to create. I may be a frustrated creator, but it won't be for lack of trying. And I thought about this analogy this week when I realized how many of us stop short of our dreams and our desires and our longings because we try and we say that didn't work, and we may try again and say that really doesn't work and give it up because we haven't invested the proper feeling with the action. And let me explain what I mean by that. The great teacher Neville said, feeling is the secret. Feeling is the key. It is the process by which we marry our actions to the passion we have inside us. I think we've all seen people who may not have the best presentation of one thing or another, but they have so much feeling behind it that we can't help but get excited for them and with them. Enthusiasm makes a difference. Joy makes a difference. And these feelings, married to action, make a difference. We sometimes don't forgive ourselves when we do something and it doesn't turn out right, and we say, I'm no good at that. I felt I was bad. I felt I was lacking. I felt I just wasn't cut out for that. We allow one or two or three failures to derail us from the things we want to do. And today, I'd like to remind you that really there is no such thing as failure. I know that sounds sort of strange, but follow me when I say that failure is really just the production of results. It's the label we place on something when we feel we haven't lived up to par or done it right. Failure is a word that can prohibit and inhibit our future growth. We become attached to the result that we produced the first time, and we tend to repeat that over and over again because that's the way we felt the first time we tried. I'd like to challenge each one of you today to cancel out those things that you feel that you have failed at, or at least call them by another name. Call them results that can be improved upon. In Hollywood, mistakes are common. That was a mistake. Film it again. Nobody really gets upset about that. They just know it's time to try again and do it in a better way, a different way. So the connotation of failure is not something that is used in the world outside of us so much when we're learning something. But when we are doing it by ourselves, we tend to be our harshest critics. Why is it that it is particularly true that we are so hard on ourselves? Why do we forgive others so quickly and we are so want to hold on to what is inside us that inhibits our growth and stops us from being all we can be. Well, I have a feeling about that. I don't ascribe to a negative theology that says we're born broken and need surcease and relief from our higher power. I believe our higher power is with us every moment of every day and encouraging us to try again, once more with feeling, twice more with feeling, whatever it takes. And even if you try and try and try and get what you call the result of failure, you really haven't failed because you found out ways that it doesn't work. I'm talking about taking a stand for yourself. Because when you take a stand for yourself and you come from that positive, loving, wonderful place inside you, that's what you have to give to other people. You feel it first when you're clear and loving and affirming. And then when you feel that and you feel it sufficiently deeply, that's what you have to give away. That's why guilty, angry, frustrated people create guilty, angry, and frustrating experiences. They see life through the prism of what they call their brokenness or others' brokenness. Christ Jesus affirmed people where they were, never said, "You are broken and beyond repair." It was always restoration. Take up your bed, walk, get up, let's go from here. I don't believe in the past as a barometer of what there is to come in a person. I don't believe in the words, "This is the way I've always been." I prefer to say, "This is the way I've always chosen to be." I have told myself, for example, if somebody is fearful in closed spaces, I choose to make myself afraid in that area, not that the situation itself makes me afraid. You see, we're powerful creators, and our minds can be our best allies or our worst enemies. But the mind is an attribute of God. So the power that comes from that can be used two ways, for us or against us, for others or against others. Now, I just happen to believe that we're here to uplift other people. And we can't do that unless we have uplifted ourselves, believed in ourselves, and gotten our own mental health straight about what it is we want and what it is we'll accept. Now, sometimes you have to say, "I don't think this is really cut out for me. I think that I've learned a lot of things along the way in this situation, this relationship, this job, whatever it may be, and I'm ready to try something else." There's the old saying, if at first you don't succeed, try again. And if the second you don't succeed, there's no use being a darn fool about it. Sometimes you just have to move on to something else. But you still have the attempts and the trying to do something different, the willingness to learn, the willingness to grow. And life should always be about growth. In fact, it really is about expansion. I have never seen the universe contract. Every day is a new way to express God out here, but first in here. And so that's why I think feeling in here about yourself, what you are, who you are, what you've done, what you haven't done, is key to what you're going to experience out there. It's very easy for metaphysicians to say you create your own reality and throw it out like that and leave it alone. Well, there's a little more to it. You create your reality because of your intent. Your intentions are the things that are really true about you. What you do oftentimes is informed by things that are outside of your control. You may contract when somebody criticizes you. You may decide to believe something less than what is true about you. I'm here to remind you of the truth that's in you, of the greatness that you have, the inherent wonder that this bag of skin we have surrounds. You are a living, breathing expression of Christ Jesus. You are a living, breathing expression of the Buddha nature. You are a living, breathing expression of every wonderful thing that has ever been from on high that has come to us. Every great teacher has reminded us who we are. Every great teacher who wants to see us grow tells us that we have the power. It never resides in somebody else. And if somebody else is attempting to pull your strings, you're allowing that by being complicit in their control. True love sets free. Fear controls. Fear constricts. Love expands. I want to say this because I want it understood from the very get-go that I believe in expansion in every way. And that if I'm not growing and if I'm not expressing to that extent, I've decided to step back out of the flow of life. And I don't want to do that for 1 minute. This life is wonderful. It is full of challenges. I understand that there are things that are going to break our hearts. That's the way of it. But you know, when you look back on it, you realize that you grew stronger. You realize that your soul got a little bigger, more expansive when you went through those hard times. If it was all easy, if there was no challenge, then we wouldn't be here. We're here for the soul to accrue experiences on its way to Godhood. Not very many ministers want to say that because they are in the control business. The more that they can convince you of your inherent sinfulness, the more that they can control you for the reasons that they have. I don't believe in that for a moment. As a matter of fact, I get very passionate about that. I can't enjoy anybody who's around me who is afraid of something I am, will do, or say. I want that person to be themselves, even if I don't necessarily agree with their life choices or agree with an opinion, I at least know I've gotten the truth. That's a very important thing that we should remember. Shame and guilt and those toxic things have no place in the life of one walking the spiritual path. That doesn't mean you walk all over people. Doesn't mean that you have license to hurt. It means that you're human and that at times we're going to bump into one another. And if we live in a state of forgiveness, if we live in a state of love, we don't tend to blame. So there's not much to forgive. It makes it easier on ourselves. Doesn't make it easier on the ego because the ego likes to collect offenses. It likes to hold on to things that it really needs to let go of. It remembers 10 years, 15 years, 30 years ago, how we were harmed, hurt, treated less than. And those are things that could be looked at as stepping stones to where we are now. And if we haven't dealt with it, we have a chance to deal with it now because every moment is new. And every moment you're at choice about what you're going to think about yourself and what you're going to think about other people. You can wipe your own slate clean. You can take the thing that's absolutely driving you out of your mind right now and turn it around by choosing to think about it differently, by choosing to see the lesson in it, by choosing to know that you're growing towards something that you will look back on and say, I needed that. The person around me needed that, the loved one, whatever. It was part of the whole plan, the whole, as it were, experience that the soul needed, that you needed. Not necessarily your personality, but what your soul needs. James Allen said, in As a Man Thinketh, circumstances don't reveal a man, they reveal him to himself. So each one of us knows what we are. We know who we are at night, down deep, in whatever it may be. When we close our eyes, we know generally who we are and the type of person we are. And we know where we're wanting, and we know where we're great, and the idea is to bring all that in line with your own inherent divinity and greatness. And I'm saying each one of us, every person who has chosen to come down and walk this planet, is here on a divine mission. Some of them we don't understand. Some of the things that happen stretch our comprehension and stretch our forgiveness. But it is truly all in divine order. Because if it wasn't, we wouldn't be here. There'd be no need for us. And if we were all the same, there would be no need for other people. I like to think of a non-dual universe where we look at the events that are outside us and call them good. They may not be looking good at the moment, but we know that eventually they will lead to something that is for the greater good of ourselves, of our families, of our country. Whatever it may be, this universe is wired for good. The things that hurt right now are things that came to pass, not to stay. And I think they can pass much quicker when with feeling you say, I forgive me and I forgive others. Because really, what else is there to do? If you want to constrict and get negative, if you want to go to a negative theology that says you're broken and you're in need of a certain type of grace, sometimes they split the grace up three ways. Sometimes they say you have to have a water baptism. You have to be immersed. You have to do this, that, the other. It's very difficult for some folks to just accept the fact that they're loved. That's what I love about truth. That's what I love about metaphysics. It takes you where you are. It removes somebody else's opinion about you, and it places responsibility squarely in your lap. That's the truth that frees. Anything else is something that straitjackets you, that holds your growth, that it's kind of like if you've ever seen a bonsai tree that's stuck in a bottle. It doesn't get to be as big as it could be because it's constricted, it's controlled, it's held by the jar, the bottle around it. I believe in expansive love. I believe in an expansive life. I believe in passion for life. I believe that we're here to enjoy our way through even the difficult times. And I don't say this lightly. I have been through things that have stretched me to places that I thought I would break. And at that moment, I found new strength by repeating the fact that I am a child of the Most High. I am here to see perfection in myself and others. I may, as Emmett Fox says, do it trembling, but I do it. And when I do it, sometimes I have to admit to you that it doesn't feel great at the time. I want to turn around and say, but look what happened, and don't you understand this, and point backwards. That's a sort of death. That's death to the spirit. That's living in a place you can't do anything about. You can't unblow a horn. You can't go back and change one moment. Omar Khayyam and the Rubaiyat said, the moving finger writes, and having written, all your wit and wonder can't erase one word of it. So if life is lived forward, we should live forward inside. And in this environment right now, not necessarily this church, but in this country, I see many people that want to go back to something that maybe never even existed, but I have a great sympathy for it because I understand nostalgia. I understand that some of the things in the past can be lovely and wonderful. It's wonderful to visit there. It's not so good to live there. We're meant to go forward. We're meant to grow. We are meant to be part of the Godhead. Is that scary? It was to me when I first found it out. When U.S. Anderson wrote a book called Three Magic Words, and I'm going to let the cat out of the bag right now, the three magic words were, you are God. Not with a capital G, but you are God, you are a part of God. And I tell you, that book scared me. It shook me. because it put responsibility right in my lap for who and what I was and what I created and what I thought. And I thought, I can't keep track of every negative thing that I do and say. I'll just have to live in a state of forgiveness for myself and extend that to others. And I hope that my intent lines up with my actions. You see, I can't control other people's actions. And sometimes I even found it hard to control my own, but I can control my intent. And my intent is to love everyone who crosses my path, and some are going to be more challenging than others. And that's the way it's set up. Jesus loved the people that didn't smell so good. And as a matter of fact, he called 12 ragtag guys of all persuasions, of all areas of walks of life, to go with him and spread what he called the good news. The good news being, I'm come that you might have life and more abundantly, that your joy may be full, that you may receive all the blessings of the kingdom of heaven, which is located inside you. You see, that's the kind of teacher, that's the kind of mentor that I want. That's the one I can follow because it's about newness, it's about now, it's about walking forward. And I think all of us know this. To live in our resentments, to live in our frustrations, to live in our negativities and our failures, it may feel good to the ego for a minute or two or a day or two, but it doesn't work. Life is about new. Look at spring. I have a chili pekin bush at home I've told you about. I can snap the twigs of it right now. But you know what? I went out there yesterday and I found these little green buds coming out of these dead twigs. Life wants to renew itself. It's about reproduction. I call it divine libido. Reproduction is the law of the universe. It wants more of itself. It is expansive. And I think we as inhabitants of eternity and this universe should be expansive and be open to everything and attached to nothing. And if you want to attach yourself to something, at least know you're doing it. And maybe count the cost of it. And if it doesn't quite go the way you'd like it to go, forgive yourself and know you invested that and that was your responsibility and now you're taking it back. You see, I'm talking about being on your side. I'm talking about you holding yourself as the spiritual part of the Godhead that you are, that you can grow, that you can flourish, that you do this without guilt, without anger, without frustration, without any of those things. And I know in the human experience, we're all going to do that sometimes. But if we're growing, those times are less and less. That's why we revere the great spiritual leaders, because they learned that the way of the human emotions didn't really work. That the way it worked was to be still and know and to walk in love. And I think that's why we've seen an explosion in this country in spiritual literature of material that talks about love, talks about now, talks about us as creators. We are powerful creators. And the more feeling we invest in what we want to create, the more we give of ourselves, the more others get to get from us, the better life works. Frustrated, hurt, angry people are not those who give their best. And they're shortchanging themselves. And it's hard to go inside and forgive sometimes. It's hard to go inside and let it go, especially of what we've done, but also what others do to us. But I promise you, it's the only way I found to live. I can't keep track of grievances. It slows me down so much that I feel like I'm walking in cement. But when I say, that's it. It was a lesson to learn. It's a place for me to show love. I feel light. And I can walk a little better, brighter step. Today is a new day. You get out of it exactly what you put into it. And if you failed and made mistakes, even serious ones, the moment has another chance for you. Because this thing we call failure isn't the falling down, it's the staying down. You know, there's a hymn that traditional Protestants sing, and it was, the name of it was At Calvary. And it talks about being weary and laden and selfish and self-determined and not particularly being caring about what God did for us. It's got a very catchy tune, but I also think it has some very toxic theology in it. It says basically that as a human being, I didn't care if God suffered because of me. It put our power under the control of guilt. And what happens with that is you just produce more guilt. And as I listen to that hymn over and over again, I love the melody, but I don't care much for the words. And I think that if we walk and understand, walk every day and understand that the melody is what's important more than the words. Haven't you heard somebody say, he knows the words but not the music? The words don't necessarily matter unless you're using them against yourself. But if you're going to use the words, use them for yourself. Take your power back. And don't give it to anyone who wants to control you, what you think, your spiritual experience, anything. Check it out inside yourself first. Yes, at Calvary something wonderful happened. You see, I don't mention a negative unless I have a positive that I think trumps it. At Calvary, Christ looked at a thief on the cross, though he didn't even know. And he said on the day of his death, today you will be with me in paradise. What manner of love is that? What is it that he had to say that to somebody he didn't know? That was a turning point when I read that in Scripture. And it stays with me. Today you'll be with me in paradise. We've got someone who's gone ahead of us and promised us that in his Father's house are many mansions. And if it weren't so, he wouldn't have told us. Now that's either a liar or that's someone with great power. I believe it's great power because the human ego does not say to a stranger, today you'll be with me in paradise. He spoke as if someone who knew. He spoke as one with authority. I think it's safe to trust truth as Christ Jesus taught it. Today, when you want to try something new, tomorrow, the next day, the next week, month, I urge you to invest the greatest feeling you can in it. Not out of guilt or shame or anger or hurt or any of the things that may have gone before it. That you work from the highest place inside you, that the best energy that you can bring to the project, whatever it is what you have, is what you are ready to give. Try it. See if it doesn't change things. At least you'll know that you've done the best you can and you're clear inside. And you can't ask for much more than that except to live as though everyone who crosses your path is fighting a battle you don't know anything about, and your default setting will be love and understanding. That's the way we make a better world, and that's the way we make a better self. Go at it with feeling. Expand. Try something new. Life's too short. Get out there and enjoy it. I wish the very best for you this week. I wish expansion for you. And I send you love, and I send you all kinds of wonderful energy on your path. God bless you, and so it is. Thank you.